Hello, everybody. Welcome to GLHF Podcast. This is really tense. We're on the Titanic. It's currently sinking. We're going to try to get this podcast done before we die.
There's a more immediate threat to our life, which is that there's a dog with a gun who keeps threatening you with a revolver.
Yeah, I don't know where
revolver.
People are getting weapons. Things are getting tense. You know, when people start dying in a disaster situation, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes they wouldn't make the death go quicker, I guess. They start fighting each other. We're fighting amongst ourselves.
This whole thing is sort of tilting as this Titanic sinks, which has pushed us together, and it makes it look like we're holding hands out of fear, which is reasonable because we are on the Titanic.
Oh, you can see there was a ball that rolled across the room, and now I'm messing up my camera angle. But guys, this might be a very interactive pod because we might have to literally run away if it starts sinking and we start dying.
So if you're listening on our new podcast, you know how we're on the podcast things now because you did all the work to do that? Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And a bunch that I've never heard of.
If you're listening on that, you're not going to see all the action, which is fine.
But we're in the grand staircase, this beautiful golden staircase.
Yes, one of the best parts of the movie at the end where everyone's dead and we see everyone. And they all greet each other, and Jack and Rose are then together forever.
Rose.
There's somebody named Rose on this Titanic boat right now. I have not seen Jack yet.
There's also somebody named Enter Roleplay Name. I wonder if that's what
he
it
was
says
in the
for
movie.
Us.
He was in the movie, yeah. He was one of the guys playing the violins in the movie.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? You like that movie? You a fan?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Titanic movie? I like that movie.
Excellent film. I always appreciate the way that Mr. Andrews, the architect of the ship, says, "She's made of iron, sir. I assure you she can sink." He says that. And the way he says it's really has really stuck in my brain. It's become a very iconic thing for me. So I was curious if you have a character that you're also a little bit sexually attracted to who said a line in a way that you really liked, because that's my vote.
Oh, okay. You really slipped in that last point.
I just
really
want an answer to the question,
really
okay? He's
you
a
mean
very attractive guy.
In Titanic?
In the Titanic film, yes.
I haven't seen it recently enough to remember such things. Okay. Maybe I should have watched it before this. I should have done my homework. Because that's the history right there.
It's reasonably accurate in terms of how big the boat was. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
How big the boat was? That's what
was
accurate about it.
Yeah, they got the size of the boat was right on the money. Mm-hmm. Everything else I haven't done research on, but I love that movie. And I think that it is a really cool story with a lot of great characters. So I give it 5 stars out of 5.
It is. I should watch it
again. I'm
kind
of in a bad mood today. I don't know if you can tell by my waffling and my dancing around subject matters and making things up.
I'm in a good mood, so I can pick it up.
All right. You can help me equalize.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what are we talking about today?
What never happened in the Titanic is somebody wearing a Tails Naruto, not cropped. What's it called? The sleeves are cut off of my t-shirt. In a very kind of macho way.
Yeah, that did never happen in the Titanic. In fact, I don't know between the two of us if we have a single article of clothing that even
existed
in 12.
You're sliding a little bit too close to me. I'm going to have to back
12,
up.
Sorry, yeah, personal space, jeez.
Do you think these are all structural beams, these vertical poles?
Don't get me started, because we can do a whole podcast episode where I analyze every beam and see which ones are actually holding things up. But it does look like it, right? I mean, it is holding up that
floor. Yeah, because why would they have so many beams in this room?
Well, has anything like the Titanic happened since the Titanic? Like a thing where there was a bunch of hubris, like, because, industrialized America, the world was so full of hubris, we thought we kind of tamed the world and nature, and so we were like, you can't possibly stop us. Mm-hmm. But has anything like that, maybe the Hindenburg, but I don't even know if that was quite the same. I think that was just an oopsie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the whole country going down in flames right now, literally because of climate change, but we don't have to get into that.
That is kind of a slow motion Titanic that is occurring before our eyes, I guess. Yeah. where like it's the unsinkable nation or the unsinkable world.
I really do like that we are very slowly sliding to the right the whole time. That's
that happened
cool.
In the movie. I remember there's all those ladies, you can see their bloomers. You can see their bloomers when they slide down the ship.
That's what
you
you're paying
that?
Attention to.
Yes, I pay attention to two things in that movie. The ladies' bloomers and Mr. Andrews, his whole body.
Right.
Anyway, what do you got?
What are we talking about? I was going to say I'm in a good mood today. I'm feeling productive. I had a meeting this morning. Imagine.
Whoa, about what? What do you...
Just talking about my... I went to like a local print shop that I'm going to probably transfer my merch situation to, so...
Well.
So that's cool. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to do real screen printing. And I'm also dog sitting today. I'm dog sitting my mom's dog, and I'm not a dog person. I was kind of wondering if you have had a dog, if you have any like dog-related advice for me, because it's very much like... you know those like memes where there's dogs doing the awkward side eye thing? We're just kind of doing that to each other all day because I'm not a dog person. I don't really know.
Okay. I've been near a dog recently.
Really?
I was near a dog reasonably recently within the last couple of weeks. It kind of depends on the vibe of the dog, you know? Dogs are not quite like cats, whereas a cat respects restraint and like being kind of understated, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You really do have to feel out what the personality of the dog is.
Right.
So I guess
there's much more
to...
variation in dog personalities. I'm used to cats. I know how to act around a cat.
Yeah.
A dog feels like more like a stranger, like a person that I don't know.
Really?
So it's a little awkward.
I feel that way more about cats, I think, so... I don't know. Well, let me just say, have you tried these things? Have you tried petting the dog? How did that go?
I do. I do pet this dog. She's a she. Her name is Lily. And she's a little... she's like a chihuahua mixed with something. She's like a... She's not like a tiny, tiny chihuahua, but she is a chihuahua
another type
of some
of dog.
Kind. Yeah. Yeah. She's not like a chihuahua mixed with like a squirrel or something, although that would be cool. I do pet her. She doesn't seem to react very much to the pets. My mom insists that she likes being pet, but she just kind of is always looking nervous and shaking whether you're petting her or not.
Okay. If you ignore Lily, what does Lily do?
Not much. Pretty much the same. She's she's pretty much the same regardless of what I'm doing. I wonder if my mom's listening to this. Hi, Mom. Love your dog.
Do you,
don't know how to interact with her.
Well, I'm sure you're taking great care of Lily. I'm sure Lily's well fed.
Yeah, we went on a walk right before this pod, and I picked up the poopy in the bag for the first time in my life. I've never done that.
Is there anything... Did you enjoy it?
I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as disgusting as I thought it would be.
It's nice when it's cold out because if it's warm, it's like it warms your hands
if
you don't have gloves.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Well, I've never done it, so I don't know. I used to use a pooper scooper. You ever use one of those? Big machine where you can...
machine?
You squeeze a hand. It's kind of...
A device?
Not a machine. Not a device. Yeah, a device is a better way of putting it. It's like those like long arm grabby things you can win at a Chuck E. Cheese. You like squeeze the handle and it grabs it. So I've used those before. But I haven't, I can't remember the last time I got my hands around one of those little things, you know, personally through a baggie.
Yeah, it was fine. It was,
is there anything you've done with Lily that Lily has seemed to react positively to?
I gave her a treat earlier. She's right next to me. I can't say it.
So she's intelligent. She knows language.
Yeah, somewhat. She knows a few words.
Okay. If I yell it really loud, will she hear it, do you think? Treat.
I don't think the headphones are that strong. I think she's dreaming about something right now. She's going
to
be on my stream later because she's just in a little bed at the foot of the couch, so you'll be able to see her.
Yeah, I wish I had better advice for you, but I would just say be ready to provide love and make sure she doesn't die. And beyond that, you know, you do what you can.
I think I'm doing pretty good so far.
Yeah.
I was mostly worried about getting her to poop because I was like, I knew she needed to, and I was like, I don't want her to explode or something, you know, so got that figured out.
Well, okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right.
Do you think if you had the chance, would you be interested in sailing across the Pacific Ocean alone in a sailboat?
Literally so funny that you're bringing this up. In a sailboat, because I, you know, one of my favorite YouTube videos of all time is somebody doing that. It's like just some,
really?
I think he's like 19-year-old kid who just takes a camera and he's like, yeah, I've been sailing for a long time and I'm going to try to sail to, it's like Hawaii to Indonesia or something. I don't know. It's amazing. But like, speaking of things that will remove your hubris, you know, that's one of them for sure. Doing, facing that alone in a sailboat will very much make you frightened. Why are you thinking of doing this activity?
Well, I see this guy on TikTok once in a while that's been doing it. I think at this point he's done it like a couple times. I don't know. He's just been taking forever.
It probably takes a while. I mean, I'm sure it takes at least like a month, right? Because you're just sitting, unless you're waiting for wind.
I swear I saw a TikTok that he already got there, wherever he was going, and then I'm still seeing TikToks that he's still doing it. So I don't know what kind of route he's taken. Maybe he's done it like three times. But I don't know. I personally have no desire to do that. So I was wondering if you have that gene or whatever where that would be remotely interesting to you. Because I don't really know what motivates somebody to do such a thing.
I think a lot of... I mean, I don't want to overgeneralize, but I definitely feel like there is such a thing as like the white man gene. That's not the right way to phrase that. but like, I feel like a lot of guys, and it's not just white guys, but like white guys have I feel like sometimes an obsession with like running away and truly finding their solitude and their manhood. And that is an activity that would probably satisfy those criteria. But like a lot of people be like, oh, I'm just going to walk across the country. Like that's not a thing that like a random person does. That's like a thing that someone who feels they have something to prove does.
Right.
So I think deep within me, if I had like 12 really bad days in a row, there's a chance that I would end up doing something like that.
That's all it's going to take.
Roughly.
Water's coming in the room and the violins are playing.
Oh, gosh,
you probably don't have your audio on, but the violins are playing and water's coming in.
You said this was going to take 2 hours, for God's sake.
For the whole ship to sink. But we need to go up, right? We need to go somewhere.
What do you mean up?
You've seen the movie a lot. Where do we need to go to get away from the water?
At this point, Jack is probably down in the thing. He's we can't go to first class.
Oh, no.
Can't go that way.
It's the stairs. Stairs.
Jack is probably tied up in the room.
Okay, let's run up. Run up this way.
Yeah, this is crazy. This ship is gigantic.
It's going down.
The first funnel has collapsed. That's not good. Oh, yeah, I'm watching it collapse right now. Look at that. Holy cannoli. Anyways, so no, I probably wouldn't do that unless, like I said, I had a series of unfortunate events occur, in which case I always know that that's an out for me to sort of... disappear into the nation of America somewhere. Well, I guess that's outside of America because it's the ocean, but it is funny that you bring up sailing across the ocean, because I've been eyeballing in like early 2027. There's a big boat. Where did you go? I lost you.
I'm like standing up on a back deck somewhere.
Okay.
Oh, this is so sad.
Well, there's a boat, a big boat. Oh, there you are. There's a big boat called the Queen Mary II, which kind of looks like the Titanic, which every like few years does a transatlantic crossing in the middle of winter, which is at the same time the Titanic did. And I was looking at that and I was like, it might be kind of sick, even though it's basically like the worst cruise ever, because you're just in the middle of the Atlantic and there's nothing to look at
like
for like 9 straight days and it's cold.
Do you think there'd be something in the back of your head that like maybe you would also go down Titanic style?
I think there's probably something in the back of my head that like that's why I want to do it, is because like I want that to happen, you know, to give me purpose.
For the drama.
So there's a chance that I'll take a transatlantic crossing on a boat in 2027, which is not quite the same thing. But I do think there's something like, you know, cruises. Have you ever done a cruise? You ever been on a cruise?
I have when I was a kid.
Have you really? I did not
some
expect
kind of
that
cruise
answer.
To Mexico.
Please tell me what you learned about yourself from that experience.
I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that I love I kind of learned that I love attention on that trip because I entered the karaoke contest, the cruise ship karaoke contest. And I think I've told this story in a video before, but I had this sassy little sparkly orange outfit that I wore for the finals of the karaoke contest. And I think I sang something from Britney Spears. And the judges, I believe, were all also children. And so I think they were predisposed to vote for me because I was also a child. But I won.
Were there adults?
There were adults. Yes, there were adults in the contest.
Get out of town. But the judges were all kids.
Yeah. And like in hindsight, of course, they were going to give it to the adorable little girl above all everybody else because they probably didn't want me to feel bad.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious what. Like, if someone on a cruise came up to me and said, we're doing a karaoke... Oh, you disappeared.
Oh, I fell.
You slid.
I don't
Did you slide down the boat? Are we really getting... Oh, yeah, we're really...
Oh, I
really
think
getting
I'm...
tilty
oh,
here.
I'm ragdolling. I'm ragdolling.
I don't understand how it's going to take 2 more hours for us to die because, like, this ship is going down.
I guess
going
not.
Down.
I was wondering if it was in real time, and I think maybe it's not. Because,
okay.
Because, yeah, this is happening really quickly. I think I'm underwater,
yeah, really,
and I'm
we're
drowning.
Falling apart here. We're dying.
Yeah, I'm drowning.
I'm going to do my best to survive as long as I can, like Jack and Rose. Yeah, I guess I wonder what's going on in the mind of an adult when they're told that there's a karaoke contest judged by children, why they would want to partake in that.
I don't know. It was just fun and goofy. Know. You know what else I sang? I don't remember what I sang on my final song. I do think it was something Britney Spears. But at some point during the competition... Or just for fun, I was singing. This was during my Shania Twain phase. Okay. At some point in elementary school age, I went into a music store or like a Barnes & Noble or something when they still had the headphones you could put on and listen to albums.
Yes.
And I found Shania Twain's album, Whatever One Has. Like the one that she was famous for probably that like all the songs people know are on. Like, Man, I Feel Like a Woman and...
Mm-hmm.
Whose bed have your boots been under, you know? anyway, I got the CD and I loved it for some reason as a little child. And I sang, Man, I feel like a woman on that karaoke
That's
stage
so cute.
On that cruise
Wait,
ship.
So
and I was like,
there's multiple rounds.
I was like 8 years old. Yeah, yeah. There was rounds.
This is serious. Okay.
It was serious. I sang, Man, I feel like a woman. As a little
but
baby.
But you don't do, you've, when, what other kinds of performances have you done in life to take advantage or to give yourself the same high that you received on this karaoke contest?
YouTube.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, what are we if not just a couple of attention whores?
That's interesting because I don't know. I don't like, you would never catch me dead doing karaoke. You'd have to kill me and prop me up. put a speaker inside my mouth.
So you're not going to come to karaoke with me ever.
I'll watch you do karaoke. I like karaoke a lot. To watch, I like watching people do it. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of great art is created in that space. You know, or I should say, great expressions of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they occur late night inside of karaoke spaces? But no, I would never in a million years, never in a trillion generations.
I was big into karaoke at my like middle school events too, because my middle school would do these, I forget what they were called. They would do these like they would like have a dance, but there would be a bunch of other stuff to do too. It was actually kind of cool. It would be at the school at night. And it was like periodic, like several times a year they would do this. And there would be like a dance in one room and there would be karaoke in like the front lobby. They would set up a whole like DJ booth and karaoke and stuff. And
that is pretty fun.
That was all I would do is I would do karaoke over and over and wait for my turn. You'd have to wait forever because there were like 30 kids doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love karaoke and I need to get back into it. You know, I was into it as a child and then I grew up and didn't really have an opportunity. And now I'm like itching to go to karaoke. I'm like, everybody I meet, I'm like trying to suss out if they would be into doing karaoke with me. So,
Have you ever gone into one of those little tiny rooms? Those little Japanese karaoke booths?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very different in Japan. The music is so loud in my ears right now. I'm sorry to the listeners. But in Japan, it's very different. And like other Asian countries, I'm sure this is like more of a thing over there, where you actually have a little private booth.
Yeah.
And it's very chill. It's very swag. You can go in there and just like hang out. Like, you don't necessarily have to use the karaoke machine. You can also just hook up whatever to the screen and like watch movies and stuff. And it's just a convenient place to hang out with people in like the city.
And they like bring you food and stuff.
Yeah, they bring you food. And it's like the place that you can guarantee getting American food is the karaoke places, because they always have like chicken fingers and fries and shit like that.
That's okay. You're starting to sell me. You might be able to get me into one of those booths to do karaoke, but I don't know if I would do it. In fact, I'm very confident I wouldn't. But I would eat the fries and stuff, you know. That sounds pretty good.
What's the hang up, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, do you want to unpack my like anxieties about being seen doing embarrassing things?
Sorry, this turns into therapy for you too much, I think, so we don't have to do that.
You think, does it turn into therapy for me a lot? Do we do that a lot?
Just, I think you start to analyze yourself a lot, which is, you know.
So I turn my life into therapy all the time. Mm. I need to chill out and do some karaoke.
Well, I understand, because I do that too.
Yeah, I feel like that's, you know, sometimes we were just very self-aware people, and we do a lot of self-analyzing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about something?
Sure.
How do you feel about being able to put your seat back on an airplane? You ever go on an airplane?
I do go on airplanes, and I think I kind of believe the conspiracy theory that airplane seats are getting smaller and closer together over time. Like, mm-hmm. in secret.
Which, as we discussed previously, is the most ethical way to do it, because it allows more people to get home to see their families.
Well, to a point,
though.
We said there's a threshold.
Well, we didn't say that. People said that. We didn't really determine yet. Unless you're putting that forth right now, that there is a threshold, and where is it, is I guess my next question.
I think we've probably passed the threshold, because I am running out of leg space, and I'm not even like a huge person. Like, it's getting very uncomfortable for me.
We already passed the threshold for, I don't know. I don't disagree that.
The newspaper article that comes up, it says, Titanic sinks 2.5 hours after hitting the iceberg. So I just assumed we were going to have 2.5 hours on that ship, but that seems to be false. We should pick a new place
to be. Yeah, it was pretty speedy. Do we want to go back onto the boat before we adjudicate our
airplane,
whatever the heck we're talking about?
I don't know. Should we go on the bridge? Is that fun? We could see us hit the iceberg.
Yeah, we can go on the bridge. That sounds great.
That's like where the pilots are, right? What are they called on a ship?
Is it? Captain. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Captains. This is where the captain. Oh, we can't. How come you got to pay money? That's crazy. 699 Robux just to go on a fake Titanic. I'm going to go on the bow. I'm going to go on the bow so I can watch the iceberg come in. We can do the thing from the movie. I'm king of the world.
Oh, yeah.
In any case, so let me unpack that for a second. You say we've already hit the... Oh, I'm doing it with this random person. Look at that. How cute. he looks
so
kind of like Jack.
He does.
Yeah, he's doing it. He's trying to goat you into...
Jack's haircut is like coming back. That's like a new... That's like a Gen Z thing.
It definitely is, yeah. It is. Anyway, I guess my only thing is, isn't it true? I know people don't think this is true, but I think it is true that like air travel is cheaper now than it's ever been. You do get there in one piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, unless you're, part of one of the events we discussed in previous episodes. You are flying through the air at hundreds of miles an hour, whatever. Previously, if you wanted to get across the ocean, you know, you'd have to take a boat and be in a tiny room, and
mm-hmm.
then they would serve you gruel and stuff like that. I don't know. I guess I'm just wondering if, considering what you're getting out of the bargain, is it that bad to sit in a small seat?
It's certainly better than other options. But that's
why
they can do whatever they want and make you you know, they can make you really uncomfortable before you get to a point where you're considering a train or something.
Yeah.
So I guess
maybe
that's the
what they should
it's
do is see
audience.
How far they can go before Amtrak makes a comeback.
Hmm. Anyway, your original question was about leaning the seat back.
Yes, I think they need to remove the ability to lean the seats back on airplanes.
Oh.
I think it is. If I see somebody do it, I become filled with absolute total rage.
Well, first of all, the seats only even lean back 1 inch now.
Exactly. It's not even helpful.
No.
All it does is it makes the space behind you smaller, which as a reasonably tall person is extremely annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gain anything really from it. I've literally never done it once in my life, so I actually don't know if that's true. Maybe it's the greatest thing in the world. But I just think rather than having to do this weird negotiating of, oh, you lean your seat back, I lean my seat back, let's just, nobody gets to lean their seat back. Let's just make it, let's, or all the seats are pre-leaned back. Either way is fine with me. I don't care. You know what I mean? We're just overcomplicating the social situation when I think really we should be basically sedated and locked into place and flown across the country and then let out, you know?
Sedated. Okay. How do you feel about people taking their shoes off on the plane?
I mean, if your feet don't stink, who cares, right? There's probably like a, like, I don't consider it an issue if your feet don't stink. There's probably a risk in the sense of, like, then you have a loose object that can go flying around. But
yeah, but there's
whatever.
A lot of those. Everybody's got a cup of Coca-Cola on their tray table that could...
So true. So true. Stop feeding us Coca-Cola. You heard it here first. It's a risk. It's also interesting. I was thinking about when you're a tall person, the act of sitting in an airplane seat is significantly less comfortable than if you're a shorter person. But you do gain advantages in life from being taller, right? Like, that's a studied thing. Like, you have a better time of making more money and getting a better job if you're tall, because people like tall people better. And, like, people want to date tall people more than whatever. So maybe it, like, balances out. You know, like, if you're tall, then you get to make more money in life, which gives you the money to buy the Comfort Plus seat, which then opens up the space. So it kind of evens out. I was thinking about that a little bit on the...
Interesting. I didn't realize that there were so many social benefits. I thought you were just going to talk about, like, you can see at concerts, because that's true.
That's another one, too. Yeah, that's true. I think if you're tall, you should have to sit in the back of a concert, too. And I say this as a tall person.
Oh, my God, thank you. Because every time I'm at a concert, I actually, like, start believing in eugenics a little bit against tall people.
Yep. You're like, get these people out of here. Absolutely. We don't need them. One way you can achieve that is if you... dramatically limit the amount of food resources available, bigger, taller people will starve, and over time the populations will shrink. There's actually species of human that have existed in certain situations where there weren't enough food, and so you would get these sort of I don't know if this is related to like pygmy populations or if that's even a term that's used anymore, but that's a thing that has happened. If you just don't provide enough nutrients, smaller people will win, and so then you create smaller people. So
what I'm saying is it's possible
if you can disrupt the supply chain sufficiently, you could gradually make that happen. But yeah, I do think tall people should be in the back. I feel like the sadness that you feel having to be in the back of a concert is less than the sadness that the person behind you feels not being able to see at all. You know what I mean?
Yes, I'm really glad you agree about this, because it really makes me unreasonably angry when I see tall people in the first couple rows of a concert and they're blocking my whole view, and I'm like, just, it's so selfish.
I wish there was a better solution
to it. I don't even know if I believe that outside of the moment. It's just the anger that fills me when I'm there and I'm looking at the back of their head for 2 hours.
Yep.
Anyway, we've just hit the iceberg.
Yeah. We did.
It was kind of funny to watch them try to turn at the last second. Futilely.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Futilely?
They did their best.
Futilely. Is that a word?
Futility, futile. Yeah, well, it's got to be, right?
Futilely?
They turned out of the way futilely. I'm not even
Anyway,
look
it was
it up.
Futile. Somebody said they get all their current events from this podcast, so this is the Titanic sinking, guys. This happened in, what year did this happen in?
1912, maybe.
1912?
Something like that.
So we're bringing you the news live from 1912. Ship ran into an iceberg. It kind of looks like everything's going to be fine right now.
That's what got them, is they were like, well, it's the, you know, they can close the compartments or whatever. But right now, at this very second, there are people drowning in the boiler room.
Right, but we don't know about that, because we're the upper class.
Are we? We couldn't afford the Robux to get into the upper class.
Oh my god, I could go on a little rant about Robux. I've been doing a lot of Roblox research for a video. And I was debating how much I want to talk about it, because it's so interesting to me. And I think I can talk about it a little bit in more of a ranty way, because the video I want to be like fun and silly, but there's like... there's really some drama going on with the whole way that Roblox works, in my opinion.
Well, tell me.
So, they've created this crazy, like, completely insulated economy of Robux, right? Mm-hmm. Kids buy Robux cards. They spend Robux on items and things. And what I found out is that if you're a developer of a Roblox game... which, like, anybody can just make and publish a Roblox game, which is kind of crazy because there's so many of them. There's just, like, thousands. And as you can imagine, there's, like, kids getting on and making games in 3 seconds. And so there's just, like, thousands of garbage nothing games getting uploaded constantly.
Which is good.
Which is good. That's, you know, that's my bread and butter. So thank you to garbage game makers for my career. But,
shout out Rod. His games weren't garbage, actually. They were
no, they weren't completely garbage.
Oh, they were awesome.
So what am I saying? Developers, when they sell anything, like, you can sell your game itself, but most people don't do that. They do, like, microtransactions where they're selling, like, outfits within their game or something. You're getting literal Robux for that. You're getting paid in Robux.
Right.
And then you have to go... once you meet a certain threshold of enough Robux, then you can, like, apply to the program to transfer it into money. Okay, but I did some math, and let me pull up my math real quick. I just thought this was crazy. The threshold to make any money on Roblox from something you made is 30,000 Robux. That's when you can, like, apply to the developer program to get money from that.
Okay.
And the developer rate that they will give you, 30,000 Robux, comes out to about $100. It's $105.
Okay. And do you get all that money?
When you buy a Robux card, when a kid buys a Robux card, it's like roughly one Robux is 1 cent. So 30,000 Robux is $300 that some kid...
okay.
purchased.
So you're getting about 30% of the revenue.
Roblox's cut of what developers make basically is 65%. But more than that, because if you make under the threshold, then they just keep all of that.
True. Yeah, so that's a good point.
Compared to other platforms, like YouTube memberships or Patreon or whatever, I think YouTube and Patreon are the same now, where they take 30%.
It's like 30. Yeah, I think 30.
And I think it used to be lower on Patreon, and then they raised it.
Whoa, wait, pause. Mr. Andrews, Roblox Titanic will sink. It is a mathematical certainty. That's my boy.
Oh my god.
It's a mathematical certainty.
Wait, is he a real person?
Yeah, Mr. Andrews. He designed the ship, and he died on it on account of... he felt so bad. Yeah, he was like... this lady was like... no, this guy was like, she can't sink. He was like, yes, she can. She's made out of iron, and iron is heavy. And then it sank, and that was that. So anyway, continue. So you 65% goes to, it's like inverted, basically, for Roblox.
Yes. And I don't know. I just think it's so interesting that we've already had this kind of system for a long time with video games, where you buy the fake video game currency, and then it kind of tricks your brain, like you're not actually sure how much you're spending because it's like a fake currency.
Right, like Wii points, and or so, what was the really bad one? Microsoft Bucks, where it was like $10 for 1,200 points, so it wasn't even, like, match-upable. I have not even heard of
Microsoft Bucks.
I don't remember what they were called. They don't use them anymore.
Is that, like, for Xbox?
Yes, back in on Xbox 360, it might have just been called Microsoft Points.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, some weird conversion, because with Wii Points, it was a point is a penny,
right?
Which makes it relatively easy. But Microsoft was always doing weird stuff where, like, you could only buy it in quantities of, like, 900 or 1,200 or 1,700.
Yeah.
But the games would always be 1,000 or 1,500. So, it would, like, they were always trying to get you.
Yeah, that's how they trick you, because they make the conversion impossible, which
yes.
Genshin Impact does that. Like, just full transparency. As a Genshin fan, I will admit it's, like, impossible to actually tell how much money you're spending on the gems or whatever, which I don't
that's how they get you. But it's not any worse than, like, a casino, you know? Not that that makes it right, but, you know, people, I feel like people are a very,
Oh, but, like, are casino chips, don't those stand for actual dollar amounts?
They do, yeah, but, like, in the same way that, well, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying about Genshin, but, like, in this, it's like it turns it into a red chip and a green chip and a white chip, and they all were worth different amounts. So it, like, separates it in your brain when you're betting and throwing chips down.
I suppose it
doesn't feel the same as throwing hundreds of dollars down on the table.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is,
video games are learning from what we've learned in casinos.
I think it's interesting that Roblox is, they're doing that where they're kind of tricking you into spending more money because you're not really sure how much you're spending, but then they're doing the same thing kind of on the other end when it comes to paying people. Like, it's hard to tell even, like, how much you're making, because you're making
it in
Robux. You said
it's $105 for 30,000 Robux?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Huh. If it's a child, like a child, let's say a child makes a game, what do they do?
I imagine there's something where they're signing up with a parent's permission to sign up for the developer program or something. Because another interesting thing that I was reading is supposedly most developers on Roblox are kids. So
that's wild. But I guess if you're a kid, $105 sounds like a lot of dollars, you know, which it is.
Exactly.
Kind of.
But then they have no idea how much they're getting ripped off because they're just a kid.
They have no clue. Yeah. So then it becomes like this, Roblox is kind of functioning on underpaid child labor, which is supposed to be illegal.
Right.
But the children are choosing to do it, so it's okay? Very confusing.
Yeah, that's kind of the real story, but I'm trying to find the comedy in what I'm researching, because I don't want to make, like, a Roblox call-out video, but I do think it's interesting.
You're trying to find the comedy in child labor. I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, we'll see how I do. We'll see. When
the, it should be easy enough, right? It's funny to see a kid with a pickaxe. That's a funny image. So no big deal. Just go down that road, and I'm sure it'll be no big deal. It'll be fine. Just find you. What you got to do is go to your local school and try to find some kids to interview who've made Roblox games and see how they feel about it. Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I should do that.
That could be pretty funny if you found a kid.
We constantly are in need of getting in touch with some children.
That's at our local schools. Also, then what's cool about that is you'll be making money off the child as well. So it's like double dipping on this child's labor. And you can give a kid $20, you know?
Yeah, there's going to be some deep themes in this video.
I know. Yeah, it'll be a circles on circles expose of Roblox, but you're actually exposing yourself in how you did with the kid or whatever.
I'm exposing myself to the kid.
Don't get yourself in trouble, okay? Actually, we can now because there's no censorship anymore. So everything's fine. We can say whatever we want.
What do you mean?
Didn't you hear about that? Mark Zuckerberg said we're taking censorship away. No more.
From everything?
Censorship. Well,
is he in charge of that?
Well, he's not in charge of YouTube, but he's in charge of something.
I can't believe we're still not in the metaverse. What's going on with that? I thought we were all going to be wearing VR headsets to our jobs and stuff.
Do you have one?
I have a VR headset, yes.
Have I talked to you about how interesting it is that, you know, Resident Evil? You heard of them?
Yeah.
That game 4, Resident Evil 4? They took Resident Evil 4, which is a GameCube game, and they made it into a VR game. You know what's crazy? If you play Resident Evil 4 and you play Resident Evil 4 VR, once you're done with both experiences and you think back on it, they're equally as immersive, which is weird, isn't it?
I guess because, like, when you played it in the past, it felt immersive, and then...
Well, like, when you play Genshin, you think back on Genshin. You're like, I was immersed in Genshin. It's like you were there, you know? Like, if you play
exactly.
a great game...
I was surrounded by anime like characters.
Yeah. And I think it's crazy that once all is said and done, playing a game in VR is, like, no more effective than playing a game not in VR. And so it's interesting that we've wasted all this money making these headsets.
Right. Well, I think I see what you're saying. And I think immersion is more of a, it's more of a state your brain is in than necessarily
yes.
just about the technology. Because you can get immersed
exactly.
in a book when like nothing
Which
is happening around
zero,
you.
Zero. Yeah. No graphics at all.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, the books feel more immersive than a VR game, you know?
Yeah. I do think VR is cool. But as I've used it more, I've realized, like, over time you get used to it, and it doesn't feel, like, insanely different than playing a regular
exactly.
game.
Exactly. It feels like the brain, no matter what you're doing, finds its way back to normalcy, no matter how good or bad.
Yeah, because you can get used to anything.
The technology or circumstance is. Yeah, you just, like, you will get back to being like, okay, it's a game. Who cares? You know, it's like, it's kind of that thing of, you play Roblox, and it's exactly as immersive as playing, like, Zelda on the NES. Like, it's not, we haven't actually gained that much in terms of, like, relative experience.
Yeah.
In
all
games
of this
are
extra. The same. There's no point
yeah,
in
they
spending
are.
Money
and
on anything.
So it's interesting that we're doing a lot more work to get basically the same result.
It's always been just, like, really comical to me. Also, we're up to our chins in water now, just so everybody
knows.
Yeah,
we're drowning. It's over for us.
It's always been really funny to me how the tech bros think that anybody is going to want to wear a VR headset all day, and they keep trying to do it over and over again, and it keeps not working, and they keep thinking, you know, then a different tech bro tries it, and they think they're going to be the ones to make it work. Because, like, Mark tried with the Meta headsets, and then Apple tried with their stupid, ridiculous thing, and every single one doesn't work. But there's always a new guy that thinks they're the one.
And it probably will happen eventually, right? Or maybe not, because like that. This is the I don't know. I'm not that informed on this stuff. Maybe you know more than me. But it feels like the crypto thing, where people are like always thinking it's about to be a thing, but it never is. It's just like basically baseball cards, you know.
Right.
And it's like we're just kind of waiting on these people to accurately predict anything, but for some reason we keep listening to them, which is interesting. I did look up a bunch of interesting depreciated or dip what are they called? I don't even remember, but like, you know how a long time ago I said I'm gonna name a bunch of diseases that had old names that aren't the names anymore? You remember that?
No.
All right, well, okay. You know how, like, diseases used to have names like consumption, which is really funny?
Oh, yeah. No, I love that.
And it's consumption is tuberculosis. I looked up a few more that I'm just going to give to you right now. You
yes,
can try to guess
I
what they
it.
Are, but it's a lot of them are hard to know. So there's obviously, like, the bends, right, is what we call decompression sickness. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it the chokes, which kind of sounds scarier. Actually, in a way,
the
bends
chokes.
Sounds scarier because it makes me feel like my body is contorting and I don't really know what's happening. One of my favorites is syphilis, you know, which I believe is an STD.
Right.
Used to just be called French disease because
no!
the French just kept getting it. I'm sure
Not
there's like
French
a more detailed
disease.
Explanation, but I really like that.
Is that the one
and
that like
I also,
rots your brain?
I think it is actually, yeah.
Scary.
I'm not gonna stick my life on that, but I think you're correct, yeah. That it was like that's the French disease, so if you have syphilis. And then another one of my favorites is rickets, which comes from just being like having a crappy body that doesn't work.
You just have
because
a
of malnutrition.
Shitty body. That's
that
your
was
diagnosis.
Just called, that was called English disease because just the English never ate good food.
Wow.
And so everyone in England had rickets.
There's a disease for every country.
Gargoylism, which has a new name, used to be the name of a disease, which is like a thing that makes your face look interesting. It's a thing kids get and then they die before they're 8 or whatever.
Yikes.
It's not good. And then there was one called Dum Dum Fever, which was this some weird infection from a particular area of the world.
Dum Dum Fever?
Yeah, Dum Dum Fever is a good one.
I've got that.
I think that stuff's kind of interesting and fun. And I think in general, we mostly use scientific names for things other than when we briefly called, not when I say we, I'm not talking about me, when we called COVID like the Rona or the China flu or whatever they were calling it.
Ew, who was saying that?
Wasn't DT, he was calling it.
Believe it.
The something about China. So that's like the closest we've gotten to a fun colloquial name for a disease, I feel like, right?
Yeah, well, I love
a cold. Like, right? Oh, my Roblox just turned off.
I'm just listening to these beautiful violins again. But I love consumption because it's so vague. I think the vibe that I get from a lot of those old disease names is that they were super vague because people didn't really know what was going on. Like, they were probably accidentally calling a lot of things consumption that weren't necessarily. But,
Yeah, definitely.
I think I love the vagueness of it. I love that, like, a lot of these words are just like, you're just kind of fucked up. They're just kind of fucked up right now.
Yes, just like a general. A lot of them were like, basically just named after what it looked like when you had it.
Exactly.
Or like where you got it. So if you came home sick from
France, you've got
rickets.
You're just fucking rickety. Like, what's...
You're rickety. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
And they just called it like it was, you know?
Exactly.
And now we got all this science, all this knowledge.
I know. I love reading primary sources of old doctor journals. Mm. And they're like, yeah, this person's just kind of fucked up. I think they got too much blood. I think we're going to throw a couple leeches on there. I think their humors are kind of like...
The humors
fucked.
Is a cool
the
one.
Levels of the humors is wrong. Because they're really just guessing. They're going on vibes alone.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we really... I mean, this is empirically, like, provable, and I know you'll agree. We've definitely, like, really forgotten how bad disease was, like, 150 years ago. Like, everybody would get smallpox, and, like, 50% of people would die with it, you know? And I feel like, in general, like, if you ever watch a movie that's set, like, even like, Annie, you know? I was listening to a story... I guess I won't be too specific, but a member of my family was talking about when her mom was growing up. They were growing up in like the late 40s. And she said that it was common practice, like an orphanage, you know, which we don't really hear about orphanages anymore. But the orphanage back then was just the place, like if you didn't have enough money to take care of your kids 1 month, you just drop them at the orphanage and go get them later. You just give
like
them to the orphanage. Yeah, you just, and you take them in and out as need be.
I never heard of that.
And so she was telling me a story about how my, I guess it would be great aunt, I don't know, whoever it was, some old lady, right? She had siblings, and sometimes they could only afford to feed 2 out of the 4 siblings any given month, so they would drop half of them off at the orphanage.
Oh my
and
God.
Keep half of them and just go, bye, it's your turn to be at the orphanage.
It's like doggy
these
daycare.
Next couple of months. Yeah, exactly. Except
for
it was
children.
Free. It was just a place you could throw children that you couldn't take care of anymore. And it imagine being the kid who has to get dropped at the orphanage and watching your siblings get to hang out with your parents and
right,
like,
just
go
some of
be
them.
Normal. And you just have to stay at the orphanage and
just
scrub the floor with a toothbrush.
Off.
Yeah, exactly. Just doing half of them at a given time seems crazy. Like, just do all of them at that point, you know? And then the orphanage just uses them for child labor, I assume.
I'm seeing why you're so against cleaning with a toothbrush, because you have this really strong association of it with like
an
old timey orphanage.
Mm-hmm. The body keeps the score type thing. It's in my blood to hate toothbrush cleaning because it reminds me of my family lineage.
You're having
of
flashbacks
getting,
of your ancestors.
Unceremoniously dropped at orphanages. Yeah. And then she was telling a story about how like they would always be on the lookout for anyone who needed like a servant so they could just give their kids to these people so they wouldn't have to feed them for a couple months because they didn't have any money. And it was like, that was like a thing that people did. Obviously not like if you had money, you weren't doing that, but a lot of people were poor and it wasn't that weird. And nowadays, if you did that, you'd be like put in prison. Well, I'm sure there's like an equivalent that still happens, but
for sure. It's crazy like, to
this stuff used to be really rough and it's still rough.
Yeah.
But it was rough in a different way. Like an early industrialization was a crazy time. Great Depression era was a crazy time.
For sure. I never would have survived.
No, definitely not. I would have gotten, I wouldn't have wanted to wear those slippers to protect your feet from rats or whatever, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to. And then I would have gotten bit and gotten a disease and died because there's no vaccines.
You want to go like barefoot in those days?
Well, yeah. I like being barefoot. I don't know why I just said that. That was a complete lie. I like wearing slippers and socks. I prefer it. I much prefer it. I think I wanted just to remind people about diseases and rats. So I decided to lie.
Somebody's just going to clip you saying I like being barefoot. And that's going to be like something they listen to. In their free time.
It's going to become a problem for me in my future. I'm going to be chasing that one back for the rest of my days. This has been a weird show. We're talking about a lot of weird...
I know, and I feel like I've been very distracted by the game and the music. So this might be a little chaotic.
Oh, well. Do you want to do top comments from last episode, as per is becoming tradition, from me doing it?
Sure, if you've got some.
Is there... All right, I'm just going to say something out loud. I'm going to be very nonspecific, but I think you're going to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Can I read that one comment? I love that you know.
There's a couple.
What I'm talking
there's
about.
A couple that I'm thinking of. Are you talking about the analysis of my personality?
Yes. Wild. This is what I'm talking
even,
about?
I didn't even read it. I didn't even read the whole thing.
Oh, I did. I savored every moment. But this is what I was talking about when you, it was the other week and you apologized for something and I was like, don't apologize. You do not want to like give these people an inch because they'll take a mile. And this was me seeing someone take a mile. I loved it so much.
I'm scared because I didn't read the whole thing.
So doing the analysis. Just... I mean, it wasn't, I didn't think it, there were some interesting things in it, like funny things. But the problem is we don't want to encourage this kind of behavior necessarily.
It was like a psychic reading almost because they started talking about like, this is what your parents are like and they don't know anything.
Yes. A lot of it I think was like very like obvious and basic.
Yeah. Give me the summary.
Assessments.
Give me the important points.
You know, they picked up on the thing where you are obviously like kind of a perfectionist, which is part of the reason why you didn't enjoy being in school and whatever. But I feel like that's pretty obvious.
Sure.
Then they started getting into some interesting... I don't even know if I could comfortably read it.
Yeah, me neither.
On the show. Because then they start talking about, like, your parents. And it's just like, oh, weird. This is interesting. but I do really like... I'm going to read this thing where... This is just... this person's glazing me. Jonathan's giving me a little glazing. So I'm going to read the glazing Austin part, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Because
they're talking about why you like hanging out with me, which again, they're getting very deep.
Okay.
But listen to this, because I know this is exactly how you think, and this is why you're here with me right now.
Oh, no.
I think, quote, this is quote, I think we may be drawn to Austin because he's deeply thoughtful, able to find the beauty in gray areas of life. And he doesn't chase beauty, he just acknowledges it. He seems to meet you where you are, as you are, which makes for a really delightful and warm connection. And
so I see now why you wanted to read this live.
Yes, you caught me. I just wanted to say that out loud because I it's true. All of it's obviously very true. And that is what's so great about me and why we're here.
Wow.
I like it. It's funny, though, because I feel like this whole podcast is just a place where I can come and complain about things and you will entertain it. So I like the juxtaposition of being like, oh, yeah, I'm so accepting of everything and I love beauty and I just acknowledge who we are. And then meanwhile, I'm saying like, I'm going to sever the heads of anyone who puts their airplane seat back in front of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, listen,
there were other comments
we're
that you
all
saw that were
multifaceted humans and you can be both of those things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I appreciate about you, is you recognize both sides of my Gemini, mm-hmm. whatever, you know?
I recognize, it's the grad student in me. Everything is contextual.
Yeah.
And switch your paradigm, and listen, I've been out of grad school too long. I can't even remember all the grad school words. I need to look them up.
Do you think you'll ever go back to school?
Gosh, I think about it sometimes because I want to teach still, maybe someday. Maybe. I don't know.
You'd be good at it for sure. I mean, that's part of, I feel like there's an underrated thing that people who want to be YouTubers don't consider, which is that I think one way to be a great YouTuber is to be a great teacher, communicator.
For sure.
And people don't really consider that. That, like, at their best, YouTubers are excellent communicators and excellent teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could see.
I do wonder if that. I could ever get a regular job again, though, with this internet presence that I've created. Because it's impossible to get away from. I have a very unique name, and everything will come up every time when you look me up.
Yeah, that's honestly true. Because, we've talked about how, once a month I Google my full legal name. And just see if anything comes up, and thankfully,
what do you find when you do that? I guess maybe you don't have
to
tell me.
The good news is nobody really knows my full legal name on the internet. I don't think you might be able to figure it out, but I always try to see if I can figure it out. You know, but if you Google it, you used to get my Facebook profile and stuff, which I've since deactivated. But aside from that, it's pretty clean, which is mm-hmm. nice. Not that there's anything.
That's the way to do it. I don't know why I should not have put my real name.
It was a bold choice to, yes, use your actual name. But hey, I think you should just start telling people it's not your real name. I don't know why you ever admitted that it was. Because then if they found someone with your real name, people would be like, oh, that can't be her because that's not her real name.
Right. It's not, guys. That's not my name.
Right. We're double bluffing.
I was going to bring up I don't know if you ever had this moment. I guess you've also kind of blown up recently. This is my version of blowing up, by the way, is 40K.
you think you've blown up? Just wait.
But
I'm telling you, it's not happening tomorrow, but it's going to happen.
But I'm kind of at a moment now where I'm like, oh, there's no going back anymore. You know what I mean?
Are you really at 40K?
I'm almost at 41.
Holy cow, ma'am. Jesus Christ.
You know, even a few months ago, 6 months ago, I probably could have, if I really got scared, just deleted everything and disappeared. And some people would care, but it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And I'm just realizing that it's becoming increasingly difficult / impossible to do that. Something of what I've done here on the internet will survive kind of no matter what I do. And it's a little bit scary as somebody that likes to be able to disappear sometimes, that's not really a thing anymore. Know who I am and they're not just going to forget, you know?
Yes. Then the further you go down this path, the longer the reverberation's going to be if you do delete everything, the longer it's going to take before you actually have some kind of anonymity mm-hmm. in a sense, these are the things you'll have to contend with. This is part of the gig when you want to have the world's greatest job.
It really is. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But does it freak you out at all that so many people know who you are and watch you and think about you?
No, I don't think
I never hear
people,
you
really.
Say anything like that.
Yeah, I don't. It still
does not. You don't
think
of them as people?
No, I really don't. If I see people, I'm obviously I care about and love all of my supporters.
Right,
or whatever
you love them
you
like your children.
Love them like my children. And I'll tell you, there's thousands of them, and each one of them is nothing but trouble. And that's the relationship I choose to have with them. Yeah, I'm really grateful, but I don't know. It's just it hasn't yet struck me as being that big of a deal. We'll see if that changes at some point, if it becomes obnoxious. But I do, the one thing I do think about is if you listen to big, 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 gigantic YouTubers, talk about getting, like, these are people with like 5 million plus, if not more, people who are watching them on a regular basis. They do talk about how it does cross over and become obnoxious to be that known. Like, it becomes hard to go anywhere, hard to do anything.
Right.
You kind of have to worry if anyone's someone, I can't remember who it was, but was telling a story about how if you're at a party and, you know, you're anything illicit or embarrassing is happening and someone's filming it because, you know, they're just at a party filming the party, but you're there, you're like, maybe don't film this because I don't want this and that public and people are going to see and da da da. Like, it changes the way you interface with the world. But so in some ways, I kind of think I should stop winning so much. I should stop being so good at it. I might be at the perfect level right now. But the funny thing that keeps happening is I keep putting out these videos that I think are kind of not going to be that big. And then they just blow up and it's another million fucking views. And so I don't know if I am capable of stopping it at this point.
I've been saying I wish I could just
sabotaging
stop.
Myself.
If I get to like 100K, I just want to stop there. I just wanted to
end.
I
told myself the same
there.
Thing when I was at 40K mem. I told myself exactly the same thing. I said, if I just get to 100K, I'm going to shed
but
a tear.
But you don't have any control over it is the problem.
You kind of don't. Like, if you want to do a good job, which you do just because you enjoy it, it's going to go where it's going to go. And unless you start intentionally doing a bad job, which then takes the fun out of it.
Well, and then you could lose everybody.
Then you could lose everybody. Yeah. So it's you have to hope that the ceiling of your skills is not too high. But unfortunately, if it is, if you're really good at it, this is just the nature, you know, of what you end up having to deal with.
But I think it's been interesting for me to kind of observe my own feelings about it as time's gone on, because up until 1,000, I definitely was like very conscious of the fact that these were real people watching me, and I was like really imagining, you know, 600 people being subscribed and being like I was just blown away by that, because I was imagining like 600 people in a room. And so as that number was going up, like closer to 1,000, I was getting like more and more nervous when I would like make stuff, because I was really like, that's a lot of people.
You were feeling it all.
And then past 1,000, 2,000, that's when I start just like dissociating, because it just suddenly is like a number on a screen and I can't actually even comprehend that many people. So I see what you mean when you say like they're not really people, because it's just... YouTube's just showing you statistics. It's just numbers. It doesn't really like...
Yeah.
I think it's kind of hard for like a human being to actually understand that like that many people are really watching you or caring about what you do. It's like hard to wrap your brain around. So maybe it's like not actually possible. We've been talking for a long time.
We have. Yeah. We honestly, we can just shut up and be done. We can talk more next week.
Okay. Thanks for watching.